Hey everyone, welcome back to the High Percentage Podcast. Today we're talking about the law of numbers and why you should cut yourself a break if you're getting smashed in the tournament scene. Got a new article up on the site as of, I think, Friday afternoon, and I'm going to be talking about that on a future podcast, but it was actually inspired by like a real life event that a friend sent me something, and he was like, hey, what do you think of this? And I was like, oh, I have a lot of thoughts on stuff like that. So I wrote a whole article about it, and I'll do another episode on it. I just wanted to fill you guys and girls in on the comings and goings on the website. So today we're talking about the law of large numbers. They called it the law of numbers earlier, but it's the law of large numbers. And what this is it is an idea that comes from the field of probability statistics, and it's certainly applicable in game theory, which is that in a game with random events or an element of chance in it, the more and more games that you play, the more that randomness gets washed out as a factor and mathematics or skill gets introduced as a factor. And I'll give you a couple examples. One that comes to mind is poker. I could go to Vegas tonight and I could sit down against a really, really good poker player, a professional poker player, and I could play one hand with him, and maybe that one hand I get dealt pocket aces, a really good, you know, starting hand, and he gets dealt a really poor starting hand. And because of that, there's a very good chance that I could win that hand. And then we could play again. And the second time we play, I could get dealt a really good hand, and he could get dealt a really poor hand, and I could win a second time in a row. But the problem is, for me, is that the more times I play him, I'm less likely to get lucky, and the luck is kind of going to average out. And in the long run, I really have no chance against a player like that, because he will habitually make the correct decisions, I will make incorrect decisions, and we play 100 hands, I'm going to get totally smashed. And that's essentially the law of large numbers. To bring it into the realm of sports, an example that we see every year is, let's take American football. A season starts, a team does very well for the first 3 weeks. People get on ESPN, they say, hey, this team is the new hot stuff, they're doing really well. But as time goes on, that team may start to lose and underperform, and then it turns out that they weren't what we thought they were. And the only reason we thought that is because they hadn't played enough games yet for us to get the full picture of their overall skill level against a variety of opponents. And luckily, we have things like this because that's what enables sports betting, essentially. And that's why mixed martial arts and combat sports in general really is very, very popular with sports betting. Because if you look at like a professional MMA fighter, you know, they're only going to fight a couple dozen times probably in their whole career. And in a given year, you know, they're only going to fight 4 or 5 times or maybe even less. So because we don't have as much information about them as we do with maybe say like a baseball team, that's why sports betting in combat sports is really, really big, because the law of large numbers is essentially not applicable to a sport like that. But it is very applicable, I believe, in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, because if you are a competitor, you will compete many, many times in your BJJ career. In a single tournament, you know, you could have 5-6 matches, and some people do tournaments almost every month. That you meet blue belts, that they're competing at really high level at the Pan Ams, and they've competed almost 100 times already in 100 individual matches. So the law of large numbers becomes a factor. Now, the question I've asked myself a lot is there randomness in a sport like competitive grappling or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? And the answer is sort of yes and no. In some sense, there is no real randomness in a match. However, there is chaos, and chaos and randomness are not the same thing, but they essentially lead to the same thing, which is there is a variety of things out of both competitors' control. It's a very short match. A lot of things can happen. So although we don't have to account for randomness in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you do sort of have to account for chaos. Now, where randomness is present in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, particularly if you compete, is in your matchups, right? You're not in control of your matchups. They are often chosen randomly, especially if you're in like the colored belt levels. And great example, my very first Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu match, I was a brand new blue belt. I got matched up with a four-stripe blue belt who I have a suspicion had a wrestling background, and he smashed me. It was just a rout. I didn't win. I didn't do great. But the next year, I showed up and I won the gold. And then the year following that, I showed up and I won the gold. And the more I competed, the more I realized that my very first match was an anomaly. But if I would have quit after my first match, I would never have known that. And that leads to essentially the message of today's podcast. Now, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is not like poker. So in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you cannot compete against a professional player and win. There's no randomness that will give you enough of an advantage for that to happen. It's just not going to happen. But if you are competing, you should be aware that you need to give yourself time to let the law of large numbers take effect, which is that it just kills me when I see people that they do one or even just two competitions, they don't do well, and then they never compete again. And what I say is, one, you had a random sampling of opponents, and it's possible you got two killers back to back. In fact, it's completely possible because we know competitors are probably better than people that are not competing. So you need to give yourself time to have a number of opponents to give yourself a real picture of where you're at. And then also, you're just going to get better. And that's part of the chaos factor, which is in the beginning, if you've never dealt with the chaos of a real match, or even just the chaos of circumstances surrounding a match, where do you go? Weighing in, you didn't eat the right diet before. You need to let that process play out several times. You're going to get better at going through that process. You're going to get better at dealing with chaos. And also, you're going to get easier opponents. It's interesting how things come full circle. You know, I talked about my first tournament, and I went up against a guy who, you know, has clearly had a lot more time in than me. And of course, after the match, like a lot of times happens, me and him got to talking. He was a total sweetheart. He said some really encouraging things to me. And then a couple years later, the circumstance flip, and I compete against someone that they tell me after, oh yeah, I just got my blue belt a couple months ago. And it was an odd role reversal, which I said, hey, stick with it. You're doing great. You know, just keep doing what you're doing. And now I see him, you know, almost every year at one of the local tournaments. And that's one of the great things about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But I'm glad he did stick with it because I did see him compete just a couple months ago at one of the Opens around here, and he won his match. He's doing great. This idea of the law of large numbers also kind of tangentially relates to the concept of sample size. They're not the same thing, but it's worth talking about them at the same time because they have kind of similar ideas. Sample size, most people know what that is. You take a survey of people, and you want to take enough of a survey, enough people that the results are kind of represents the population as a whole. And then you get into things like the margin of error and the confidence interval and things like that. And we hear a lot about that if you watch the news. People talk about a poll. You know, we surveyed 1,300 people, and that's a big enough sample size that we felt like it's representative of the population. At High Percentage, we deal a lot with sample sizes because we watch matches. And of course, if you watch 10 matches, you're going to get a very poor sample size, and there'll be a huge margin of error because 10's not enough. The question is, how much is enough? And that's something that we go back and forth a lot. Technically, no one really knows how many competitions or what the total population of people training is, so we can't really go by that. There are some interesting kind of statistical things that people have figured out that if you don't know what the population is, then a sample size of X, I don't remember what it is, I think it's like 200 something, should be enough to get everyone. But at High Percentage, we also have to factor in efficiency, which is that sometimes we just don't have the time to watch all those matches. And in the time that it would take us to watch, you know, 300 or 400 matches and get a really, really healthy sample size, we've kind of made a decision that we'd rather watch less matches, but still a good amount, and be able to give more content so that I'm not posting one article every single month. Kind of the gold standard that we've settled on at the moment, although we change from time to time, is we think at least 100 matches is pretty good. But also we try to collect data that sort of synergizes with other data we already have so that over time, All the matches that we've watched and recorded sort of work together so that we are starting to work with numbers in the thousands, and then we'll feel really, really good about that. In the past, we've done samples that were smaller, closer to 50, and you know, we know the margin of error was higher for that, and I just didn't feel like that was really representative, so I've started to kind of bump up what we consider our sample size. I think a real hardcore statistician would look at it and be like, oh, it really should be bigger. But I feel happy with the results that we get. I think they're pretty accurate. When I watch the fights all by myself, which I used to do a lot more, what I notice is that once you get past a certain number, the statistics are not really budging that much. And that tells me that, okay, like you're starting to get a pretty healthy sample size. It could be bigger. And hey, I hope one day I get enough commissions on Gold Online where I can just hire an army of people and we'll start watching thousands and thousands of matches, and then we'll be able to provide better data to all of you. Okay, that's all for this podcast. If you want to check out more content by us, you can always check out the website, highpercentagemartialarts.com. We try to post content every week, do the podcast every week, and then I've been slipping on the Facebook Lives lately, but I'm going to try to get back to that. Sorry. I'm thinking about like better content to put on for the Facebook Live other than just watching tons of IBJJF fights. I do that all the time, and even I think it's boring sometimes. So, but content is coming up on the site every single week. If you want to check out other stuff that I've written, I have a lot of stuff on ujujitsu.com. I'm a Jiu-Jitsu Times contributor. I have some articles on there. And also, I'm going to start writing for grapplinginsider.com and or grapplingweekly.com. But I'm helping get some other parts of that site set up. So maybe I'll be sharing that on social media once I can get some articles up and out. And if you are a book person, I have a book that I published in 2017. It actually just briefly hit the number one bestseller in one of the martial arts categories, and then it's updated every hour, so it was bumped off, you know, but I took the screenshot. I was super excited. That book is called The True Believers, and you can Google The True Believers, Lewis Martin. It'll come right up. It is a story about martial arts. It's a true story about training in Monterey in Japanese jiu-jitsu, which I did for 7 years. Got my black belt in Japanese jiu-jitsu, and then I switched over to Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and it's kind of about discovering that martial art and also dealing with a really, really crazy martial arts school that I was a part of. So check that out on Amazon if you want. It's Kindle and paperback as well. Thank you all for listening. I'll see you next week.